This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible nurses from all over the world who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
I thought that my first few months here in the U.S., I'll be a rock star and be like a celebrity spending money all the way. But after a few months, I realized that cannot be. Probably it might take a few more years, like 10 years, to be able to achieve that level. But it's possible, though. It's possible.
It's expensive, and people back home think like the roads are paved in gold here. They don't know how, especially in a city, how expensive it is. For me, it means like taking control of your life and being able to plan where every dollar is going, giving every dollar a purpose. A lot of times when we hear about budgeting, we think it means punishing yourself or restricting yourself. I don't believe in that type of budgeting. I don't think that type of budgeting works. So for me, it's more about getting really clear on your goals and building a system around that, making sure you have some money to enjoy life now because you all work hard. And if you don't, it won't be sustainable. It's like a diet. If you do a crash diet, that you're just suffering all the time, you're not gonna stick to it. So I really love budgets as just a way to be able to empower yourself. And one more analogy I like to think of is meditation. If anyone said meditation, it's really about just becoming more self-aware and like knowing what your spending habits are. You know, when do you tend to spend more when you're feeling emotional? You know, just getting more in tune with yourself.
The most important motivation for budgeting oftentimes is to increase your savings, which gives you that stability and that peace of mind. It's important because there are so many factors that contribute to this, things that you may not even think of. So social media influence is a huge factor in budgeting. Our cashless society that a lot of places are shifting over towards, shifts in employment, outsized expenses, which, you know, home, college, these expenses are growing faster than income. So it's allowing people to assume more debt, and it can just be a downfall. And then everybody has their financial goals. So all of those things influence budgeting, and it's kind of an outline as to how you want to live your lifestyle versus how you should. Living within your means and making sure that you are putting your money where you will get the most of it in the end game.
For the paycheck, I started my orientation like first week of July. And then since the salary period here, it's like every Friday and every 2 weeks. I missed that first week. So I have to wait for another 2 weeks to get paid. So it's like 3 weeks more or less for me to receive my first paycheck. Within the time, you really have to live within your means, because you really have nothing at all. Like you still have to receive something, but you don't know like how much. You know your rate, but what extras are they gonna give you? You don't know. So you just have to live within that amount of money that you're really expecting. And it's, for me, on my part, it's not really that difficult because I have a family support. I have my family here. One way or the other, they help me for some of my finances. They help me on that part, but like for gas or a little grocery. But for most of the part, it's really on me. So my sisters are here. So it was really not difficult on my part to adjust like financially, although I'm hesitant to ask from them, of course. Although they're your family, it's really different when you have your own, when you get something out of your pocket to buy things from your own. So, but that just made a little bit easier for me, having a family here. So, I'm a little blessed on that part. Maybe if you're single, $2,000 would be enough. But if you've got family, me, I brought with me my two kids and my two dogs. So probably you have to have like $4,000 or $5,000. I mean, for a startup.
It took about 14 days or 2 weeks before I get my first paycheck. And I don't recommend any specific amount, but in my personal experience, I have like $200 in my pocket, a big luggage and a dream when I arrive here in the US soil. the company gave us like $800 bonus for us to spend on a startup for the first 2 weeks. On the other hand, I gave the $800 to my brother so that he can also kick off his NCLEX and Canada journey. And when I arrived here in the US, the company gave us a promissory or like a loan without interest for up to $1,000. So I took advantage of that, take the loan because it's zero interest, and I made that as a leverage or as an startup for my emergency fund, just in case I need something to buy or spend in a true emergency, like for example, hospitalization or what, then I will be able to trickle on that fund.
Yeah, I think the key is going to be really focusing on minimizing your expenses and reducing spending just for that period while you're waiting for those paychecks to come in. So there's a lot of things you can do to reduce expenses. The largest expense for most people in the US is for housing. So for rent or mortgage, if you bought a property. So something you can do to lower that cost is move farther outside of a city. It tends to be very expensive in a city in the US. You can take roommates on, you know, to help lower the cost every month. And you can live with family or friends. So don't be shy. I think that's great, you know, how Marie mentioned reaching out to family for help. Like, there's reason we have support in life for times like this, you know. And so if you know someone or you know someone who knows someone, you might be willing to let you stay with them for a couple weeks so that you don't have to pay rent. That can make a huge difference in your budget. And then in terms of other expenses besides rent, mortgage, food is also a really big expense in the US. So trying to make sure you meal prep so that you make your meals at home to spend less instead of buying food out at restaurants. You can go to low-cost groceries to reduce expenses. It depends where you live, but there's places like Trader Joe's or Costco, where they have really healthy food that's low cost, or Aldi's. Those tend to be the two big ones. And then maybe holding off on those extra expenses until you're able to, like, getting expenses for entertainment, like Netflix, you know. You probably will need to get a phone and Wi-Fi set up. So budget for that as well.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. AMN Healthcare Network is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. That's amnhealthcare.com/international. On with the show.
She summed it up really well. The most important thing is to identify the expenses that are a necessity, and then budget around those until you have a consistent and steady income. So like she said, you know, whether it's a phone and Wi-Fi or living expenses, make sure you know what needs to be paid. And then ultimately set yourself up for expanding on that budget to be able to save. I personally, in this situation, would recommend a zero-based budgeting method where every single dollar that you have gets allocated to an expense, whether it's, you know, that $1,000 emergency savings fund is a great idea. And then taking your money and saying, you know, this amount I'm going to put towards rent, this amount I'm going to put towards insurance, this amount, and make sure that every dollar from the beginning is allocated either in a savings category or to an expense. That way you're maximizing the most out of your income.
That $200 that I have, that came from my sister. She was there in Maryland, USA by that time. So she remits the money to a local remittance center. So I withdraw the cash in pesos. Okay. So a few days closer to my flight to the US, I want to exchange that Philippine peso to dollars. So I went to a major bank in Cebu City and asked the teller there that, can you exchange my Philippine peso to dollars? Unfortunately, they declined me, because I don't have any banking relationship with them. So that's one issue with currencies. On the other hand, it's like in a whisper-like form, she informed me that you might go down the street and then find a Forex, foreign exchange booth there and have your dollars exchanged. But it's not for a better deal. It seems like that, you know, it's a lower deal for me. But then I got my dollars, my Philippine peso exchanged to dollars. So that's what I brought here in the United States, the $200 in cash, in fiat currency. Aside from my $200, I have a credit card from a major bank from the US. So that is my backup. It's like about 20,000 pesos or about $400 in credit line. So actually, when we lay over in Japan, I actually used that credit card and it worked. The anxiety of like the $200 dwindling down, like Marie said and Tanya said, it's quite a relief for me that I had that backup credit card. So, and when I arrived in the US, I was fortunate that I was able to use that credit card again. So I don't know if that worked, but over the years, I tried to use that credit card again and still it worked. So I can still order stuff here in the US like Amazon using a Philippine credit card.
Any financial institution with a fraud department will most likely flag those expenses. So it's always best to notify your bank and also set up for alerts so that you can get a text message saying, or a phone call saying, hi, you know, somebody's using your card at Target for this amount of money. Is that you? And you can confirm yes, and it'll allow them out to go through, or you can say no and protect yourself from any fraudulent activity. It's important to find a financial institution that has a program specifically designed for people in your situation. Don't fall into the American marketing trap of what credit cards are meant or not meant to be. A lot of these institutions and a lot of these credit card companies have huge marketing budgets, and they make all the promises in the world of having the best card, the best interest rate, and you're slapped with annual fees and things that put you in a hole just to have a credit card. You may not use it like Marie, but you may have to pay a $100 annual fee just to obtain it. So do your research, get with your onboarding specialist, find a financial institution that has a program. For example, we have a program specifically designed for people in your situation, and you are without any established credit. You come, you provide your documentation, and we provide you with a savings account, a checking account, and a credit card with a $2,500 limit. From there, you can start establishing credit, and you have that backup or emergency, or in some cases, that primary fund for payment. So make sure you do your research. Make sure you find a financial institution that has that program, and don't fall for, again, the good old American marketing trap that is banking.
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to add about why it's important to start building credit. You know, credit is important to build for later things that you're going to want to do that can help you build wealth. So for example, if you want to buy a property, if you want to buy a home and take out a mortgage loan to do that, you need to have some kind of credit history to do that. Or let's say if you started a business on the side, or your spouse starts a business or something, in order to take out a business loan, you'll need to have some kind of credit history in the US. And then it can come up in other ways. Like sometimes a landlord or a job will want to see your credit history. So this is something that a lot of new immigrants think they're not allowed to do. But as Blair was saying, you with no credit history, you can start with something that will help you build it. I know a lot of banks and credit card companies will have what's called secured credit card or starter credit card that, as Blair was saying, is meant for people who have no credit history. They kind of work like a debit card where you'll put up a small amount of cash sort of, and then they let you borrow against that to help basically prove you're trustworthy with paying back the credit. And then once you have a period of doing that responsibly, they will raise your credit limit and turn it into a real credit card. So that's what my husband did when he immigrated here. He had never had a credit card in his life. In Ecuador, people don't really use credit cards that much in his community. And so he was able to get started. And now he has a better credit history than I do. Because the other piece that's important is paying it on time. Thankfully, I learned that early, you know, growing up. So I've always paid my credit card on time. But he was so nervous about it being someone new to credit that he would go and pay his credit card every time he purchased something and just like treat it like cash. And that's a great way to think about a credit card. So as long as you're living within your means, you're spending less than what you earn and paying off your credit card in full every month, you will never have credit card debt. And it's actually a very, very simple way to avoid it. But a lot of immigrants just don't know that, or a lot of people are told actually incorrect things about credit cards. I've talked to a lot of people who have been taught and told by their family and friends that you're supposed to only pay the minimum payment, which is what leads to credit card debt and you having to pay interest. So that's the opposite of what you want to do.
If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and hit the follow button on your podcast player and leave us a review. AMN Healthcare International is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. We offer both direct hire and staff recruitment, giving you more options and flexibility to begin your American dream. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. There's also a link in the description. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.